Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. A very warm welcome. This is The Last Savior. This is your host, Zainab, and you are listening to the program The Last Savior, which is about the Imam of Time, Imam al-Zamana, Jalla Jalla Faraja. And in this program, we give you more and more information about the Imam of Time, as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who dies and is ignorant about the Imam of his time will die the death of an ignorant. And the hadith that we discussed in the beginning of the program is also from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He will fill the earth with justice, is the Imam will fill the earth with justice, as we are seeing the tyranny and oppression around the world right now. To explore more on the topic of Mahdaviyat, we have a special guest in the studio, Dr. Ali Alavi. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome, sir.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
When talking about distortions in Mahdaviyat, they're broadly either false claimants or the emergence of sects with regards to Mahdaviyat. We have shed light on some of the false claimants, and we will complete the topic of false claimants. So, Dr. Ali Alavi, we discussed the last false claimant that we have been discussing was Mansur Hallaj, who was famous and is still considered sacred in certain villages. And he went for Islamic studies. He pursued mysticism, but then there were innovations, and he claimed to be the deity. And however, he still remains famous deity among some people. We would like to know more about further claimants.
It's good to actually again reintroduce the topics that we are talking about or discussing in these very sessions. Here we are trying to answer different doubts and misconceptions on the concept of Mahdavi or the issue of Mahdavi or Imam Mahdi or the promised savior. We said that there were some people who claimed to be in touch with Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, or to be
His
special deputy
deputies,
of
yeah.
Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. At the time of the deputyship of the first four deputies of Imam, the first four special deputies of Imam. We said that at the time of the first deputy of Imam alayhi salam, there were less of these people to claim that they are also in touch with Imam Mahdi alayhi salam.
Right.
But right after the demise of the
Occultation.
first one, I mean, at the beginning of the deputyship, the period of deputyship of
Right.
second deputy of Imam, some started to claim that they are the deputies of Imam alayhi salam, while they were not. When we are saying that they were not, it does not mean that they didn't have any connections with Ahlul Bayt. No, some of them were the scholars in their own time before they have such claims, but unfortunately they changed their ways and became against the orders and guardianship of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, and they started to make sort of, well, I think, a program and market for themselves to propagate themselves and to promote themselves. One of the two remaining figures that we're supposed to talk about is Abu Ja'far Muhammad bin Ali Shalmaghani.
Yeah.
This is the person that we shall be talking about him today as the first person, and second, we shall be talking about Ahmed ibn Hilal Karhi. And these two people will actually close the folder of these deputies at the time of the minor occultation of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam.
يا رب العالمين 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 يا رب العالمين.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Last Savior. While we're talking about false claimants, we'll start with Abu Ja'far Shalmakani. So, Dr. Ali.
Yeah. Well, Abu Ja'far Muhammad bin Ali Shalmaghani was among the companions of Imam Hassan al-Askari alayhi salam, and from the high-ranking scholars and narrators of hadith of his own time in the city of Baghdad at the time that he was with Imam Hassan al-Askari alayhi salam. So he had a very good position, and people and Muslims, and specifically the followers of the school of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam knew that this person is a very knowledgeable and high-ranking person. He had lots of books, books of hadith, books of jurisprudence, and he had categorized different sciences that he took from Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. But right after he took the wrong way and he got distorted and went astray, actually, his views and his beliefs changed, and he started to even change some of the narrations that he had had, I mean, he had already collected.
Yeah.
And he was adding and decreasing and increasing whatever he liked and he desired to the hadith and narrations. That's why in the field of Rijal, or in the field of men of hadith or narrators of hadith, Najashi in his book says that Shalmalani was a follower of the school of Ahlul Bayt. But greed and jealousy that he had had towards Abul Qasim Hussein bin Ruh Nubakhti made him to even leave the school of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam and start his own school, which was a deviated and distorted one. Up until the time that Imam Mahdi alayhi salam actually wrote a tawqi'u letter, and Imam alayhi salam actually wrote against him in this tawqi' that it was distributed and it was published by some of the scholars. So we see that the ending of this person was not quite a very
good
beautiful
one.
And good ending.
Yeah.
We know that Hussein ibn Ruh, actually, he was the third special deputy of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. And while he was the special deputy of Imam, there was a minister in the government of Abbasids from the family of Al-Furat.
Okay.
And this person, this minister, was almost actually considering the affairs and issues of Shias and the followers of the school of Ahlul Bayt, and he was supporting them to some extent.
Okay.
But after the change in the government and actually dismissal of this person, that is, this person from Al-Furat, this minister, the issues and the environment got a bit against the school of Ahlul Bayt and the Shias. That's why Hussein ibn Ruh himself was sent to prison for 5 years.
All right.
Then Hussein ibn Ruh started to communicate to people through this person, through Shalmalani. That
All
is
right.
to contact people, to send the messages through him while he was in prison and in jail. So he was a mediator between Hussein ibn Ruh and people. Started to solve the issues of the people till what happens later, and I will explain it
yeah,
to you.
Yeah, we'll shed light on that after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned. Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is The Last Savior. We're talking about false claimants. We're talking about Abu Ja'far Shalmakani. And we said that he was among the high-ranking scholars and among the companions of Imam Hassan Askari alayhi salam. He was a bridge between people and Hussein ibn Ruh when Hussein ibn Ruh was imprisoned due to certain circumstances. So, Dr. Alavi, we would like to know further what happened then.
He was appointed by Hussein ibn Ruh as his mediator between people and the messages that he was receiving from Imam Zaman alayhi salam and Mahdi while he was in jail. Slowly, slowly, some news came to Hussein ibn Ruh while he was still in jail that this Shalmalani is giving something even strange to people. I mean, the information are not pure, the things that you are telling us.
Yeah.
He understood the problem and he started writing a letter to one of the scholars in Baghdad, the scholars of Shias in Baghdad, by the name of Abu Ali Muhammad bin Humam. He wrote to him and told him and informed him about what is happening, what is actually taking place, that this Shalmalani is not actually transferring the right message.
Yeah.
So Shalmalani slowly started to propagate his own battle and void beliefs among people, and he became totally distorted from Islam and the school of Ahlul Bayt. Even while Hussein ibn Ruh himself was in the jail, started writing a letter, a tawqi', to the people cursing him and saying that, leave what Abu Shah al-Maghani is giving to you, and he is no more a representative or an agent or even a deputy of us. So after his release from jail, he understood that the scope of these distortions is too much. That's why Hussein ibn Ruh started to tell and to inform and enlighten people of the kind of information that was given to people by Shah al-Maghani. And people refer to Hussein ibn Ruh that what is our duty? We have received lots of books, lots of information, lots of hadith from him. What should we do in this regard? Actually, Hussein ibn Ruh answered them in this way. He said, my view towards him is exactly like the views of Imam Hassan al-Askari towards the books of Bani Fadl. Bani Fadl was, again, a person, a distorted person like him. What did Imam alayhi salam say about him? Leave aside the beliefs that you are taking from him, but whatever was narrated, we can keep it. I mean, whatever was narrated from the earlier Imams, from Shah al-Maghani can be kept, but from his own beliefs, leave aside all the information that you received. This ended to a sort of uprising among people against Shah al-Maghani from the religious body of the people of the Islamic Ummah. Because after the cursing of Hussein ibn Ruh on him, people understood that whom they were trusting and the kind of changes that happened in the behavior and the writings of this Shah al-Maghani. In an assembly, Shah al-Maghani said that people, if Hussein ibn Ruh or whatever Hussein ibn Ruh is saying is true, so I'm ready to actually to do a mubahala with him. That is, let's stand somewhere in a sacred place in front of the people to curse each other.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, and even not only cursing, and he said later on, then he continued, he said that if there was no fire to come and to burn Hussein ibn Ruh, then it means that I'm wrong. So when the caliph of the time, who was from Abbasids, Ar-Radi Billah, heard such a thing, that Shah al-Maghani is claiming such a thing, he ordered to arrest him and keep him in jail. And later on, after a while in jail, he was ordered again to be killed. And he was killed in the prison, the time that he was in the prison. And that's the terrible and, let's say, dreadful end of the life of this person. You know, yep. A person from that closeness to the Ahlul Bayt, to Imams, becomes a distorted person, not only narrating the narrations of Ahlul Bayt or the knowledge that he grasped or got from Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salam, but come to propagate and promote his own holy knowledge.
Yeah.
And that's why we need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just to take refuge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to say, Allahumma aj'al awaqiba umurana khayra. And this happened, I mean, and his killing or his death happened in the year 323.
Thank you, Dr. Alavi, for all that information. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to lead from darkness towards light. Thank you for listening, dear listeners. You are listening to IRIB English Radio. Until another episode, take good care. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
زماني معشوقي إمام زماني محبوبي سلام يا مهدي سلام يا مهدي